Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos. Lamed Ches. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Zayin Mid Beis. We are going to be beginning this morning with the words Bo Mine. The Gemara is currently in the first sugya of the third parak of Shabbos. Third parak of Shabbos opens up with a discussion regarding how to prepare food be going into Shabbos. One obviously wants food to be both cooked and hot going into Shabbos, and so therefore there is obviously a need to leave food on the fire going into Shabbos. On the other hand, the Chachamim were concerned that if you leave the food on an open fire going into Shabbos, on over open coals, so one is going to be tempted to go ahead and stoke those coals. And so what the Chachamim discussed, debated, is what exactly are going to be the measures implemented in order to make sure that we, on one hand, have hot food for Shabbos, but at the same time, we're not going to go ahead and stoke the coals and violate Malachas D'Araisa. And so the Mishnah opened up with discussing the oven known as a Kira, and a lengthy discussion, and a somewhat complex discussion over the last couple of days of Gemara regarding what exactly is the scope of this idea that you have to somehow adjust the coals and adjust the fire. So, over the course of the discussion through the Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, that's the first Amud of our Perek, and yesterday's Daf Lamed Zayin, so the Gemara had an extraordinarily extensive discussion regarding the scope. And as we already pointed out, there are basically two ideas that we're going to be exploring. One is Shehiyah and the other is Chazara. And just to review Shehiyah, the idea of Shehiyah is leaving the food on the fire going into Shabbos. And a major debate amongst the Tanayim, exactly how prepared does the food have to be, how cooked does the food have to be, and whether or not the fire needs any kind of adjustment whatsoever. And let's just sketch out the two major opinions amongst the Tanayim, and that's the Sheet of the Chachamim and the Sheet of Chananya. The Sheet of the Chachamim is that in order to do Shehiyah, and you're using regular coals, you're using Gefet Ve'esim, so one has to adjust the coals going into Shabbos, even for the purpose of Shehiyah. And that means to say that you either have to sweep the coals to the side, that's what's called gerufa, or you have to lay ash, cold ash, over the top of the coals, that's called ketima. And if you do either one of those, so then you can leave the food over the fire going into Shabbos. However, according to the Sheet of the Chachamim, if you do not do that, one is not allowed to leave food over an open, unadjusted fire going into Shabbos. And the reason why is Shemi Chata B'Kachalim. Because of the rabbinic concern that if I were to do that, then comes Friday night, and one would then be tempted to go ahead and stoke the coals. On the other hand, the opinion of Chananya is that as long as the food is cooked, fresh, edible, and it's gotten to the point of Michael Ben Drusai, so then one can do Shehiyah, one can leave the food over an open fire, even though it was totally unadjusted, and one can do so going into Shabbos. And according to the position of Chananya, the fire does not need any adjustment whatsoever. You don't need to do grufa, you don't need to do ketima, and you can leave the food over an open fire going into Shabbos. And those positions of Chananya and the Chachamim were discussed extensively over the course of yesterday's daf. Also, the Amoraim weighed in on the issue as well. And so through the Mishnah and through the Gemara's discussion yesterday, we had an extensive and somewhat complex discussion of whether or not one can do, one has to adjust the fire going into Shabbos. This is all the discussion we had up until the end of yesterday's daf, and now we're going to continue as we are on the very bottom of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Bami name Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. The following question was asked from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Now we turn to the top of Lamed Chesem Ad Aleph. Shachar Chedera Gal Bekira Ubishla B'Shabbos Mahu. So it's a really simple question, and that is, let's say you forgot a pot on the oven, and it cooked over the course of Shabbos. So what would be the halacha? Now over here, this question that is being expressed over here, the simplest way to explain the question, and this is what Rashi does, is you look at the top Rashi in our Amud, is Aliba Manda Asar, meaning that we're asking within the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim who say that the fire needs to be adjusted, and the Gemara's question now is really simple. Okay, I know the fire needed to be adjusted. I forgot. I simply forgot. I left the food on the fire before Shabbos, and it wasn't prepared, it wasn't cooked, or even according to the Chachamim, even if it was cooked, but I was planning on going back to the oven right before Shabbos, adjusting the fire, either doing Gruf or Ketumah, and then that's what I was figuring to do. But, shachachti, I forgot. So what would be the halacha in those circumstances? That's a simple way to read the Gemara's question over here, that the Gemara is asking according to the Chachamim. Tosfos points out, on the top Tosfos on the Amud, we could also be asking the question according to Chananya as well. Right? I've afagav de kaimalan ke Chananya hachibai bedelo basho kamaychal ben drusai. De mo de be Chananya. So Tosfos points out that we can ask the question according to Chananya, and that is very simple. Meaning, what happened? I left the food on the fire going into Shabbos, where it wasn't even a third cooked. It wasn't even a half cooked. Meaning, Michael ben Josiah has to be either a third half, Machlokas, Rashi, and the Rambam. But I didn't even, it wasn't even cooked to that extent. And the question now, even according to Chananya, is, okay, now the fire needs to be adjusted. Meaning, if I have food that is not at the point of Michael ben Josiah, still the fire needs to be adjusted. So Tosfos says that we could be asking the question according to Chananya as well. Either way, so the question over here is really straightforward. And that is, what would be the halacha under the circumstances where I needed to adjust the fire and I just simply forgot? So, and I didn't do any malacha, I didn't violate any malacha, because let's all consider, you put the food on the fire before Shabbos, so that you didn't do any maisa malacha on Shabbos itself. What you failed to do is you failed to adjust the fire, which is a rabbinic requirement. And over here, I wasn't brazen about it. I wasn't deliberate about it. It was shachachti. I just simply forgot. So what would be the halacha? So this question was posed to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, and ishtik v'lo amaleh v'lo midi. Now, when he was first posed with the question, he didn't have anything to say. In other words, he wanted time to think about it. Lemachar, the next day, nafak darsh lehu, and he darshan the following. So the first thing he starts off with is a brisa that we're all familiar with. The Gemara quotes this brisa all the time. And you're going to see this brisa, and you can see, I'm looking at the side of the Gemara. You're going to see the brisa in Baba Kama, Chulin, Gittin, Beitza, Ksuvos. This brisa comes up all the time. And the brisa deals with the question of what happens when somebody cooks on Shabbos itself. Cooking on Shabbos itself, and by the way, cooking over here is just an example. The truth of the matter is that this discussion could be had regarding any malacha that's done on Shabbos itself. And the question, the simple question, the basic question of, am I allowed to benefit from a malacha that was performed on Shabbos? And this is just a short excerpt of an extraordinarily longer brisa with three opinions in it. But we're just quoting right now the beginning of the brisa. I'm a vash b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. If I cook on Shabbos and I do so b'shogeg, I forgot it was Shabbos. I woke up in the morning forgetting it was Shabbos and I cooked. So yochal. So one is allowed to eat the food that was cooked if it was cooked b'shogeg on Shabbos. And b'mezid lo yochal. And if one did so b'mezid, if one did so intentionally, so the person now willingly, actively violated the Shabbos, lo yochal, you're not allowed to eat that food. And again, this brisa can be discussed in much greater detail. In fact, in the other Gemaras it is. Our Gemara over here, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is just quoting this brisa in order to make the following point. So when it comes to a person who is cooking on Shabbos itself, so there's a distinction to be made between shogeg and mezid. Fine. Here, however, he said when it comes to the person who forgot to adjust the fire before Shabbos, and so the only thing that was violated before Shabbos was the Issur d'Rabbanan, so over here, he only had two words to say, and that is veloshna. In our circumstance over here, there's not going to be a difference between shogeg and mezid. Okay, fine. Now, obviously, that was the answer that he gave the following day. Now, even as he had a day to think about it, and even as he gave the answer, so we know that he's of the position that when it comes to the person who forgot to adjust the fire going into Shabbos, there's not going to be a difference between shogeg and mezid. But now we have a very simple follow-up question. When he said there's no difference, did he mean that there's no difference and under both circumstances it's going to be prohibited? Or did he mean that there's no difference and under both circumstances it's going to be permitted? And so the Gemara now is going to explore and, quite frankly, debate this question. My veloshna. What did Rabbi Chiya bar Abba mean when he said loshna? So Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavar Lehetera Mevashu Hu Tekaved Ma'isa Bemezid Lo Yochal Avahayd Lo Kaved Ma'isa Bemezid Nam Yochal. And so Rabbi and Rav Yosef both are of the position that what he means is like this. In the Brisa regarding Bishul Shabbos, so the person actively violated Shabbos on Shabbos itself. But over here, there was no active violation of Shabbos. Over here, the only thing he failed to do is adjust the fire going into Shabbos, before Shabbos. So he violated an Issur d'Rabbanan. But it's not on par with that of the Bishul Shabbos, which is a violation of Shabbos itself. He cooked on Shabbos. And so over here, because the infraction is not as serious. We're talking about Issa Darabana as opposed to Issa Daraisa. And because he did not do anything actively on Shabbos itself. So as a result of that, so what Rabbi Abba Bar Chiya meant, I'm sorry, what Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba meant to say is that under both circumstances here, even if it was shogig, even if it was mazid, we're going to be makel, we're going to be lenient, and we're going to allow the food to be eaten on Shabbos itself. That's the answer. That's Rabbi and Rav Yosef's understanding of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Li Isura Mevashu Delasi Li Irumei B'Shogeg Yochal Avahai Da'asi Li Irumei B'Shogeg Nami Lo Yochal. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak has a totally different understanding of the response of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. When Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba said Lo Shna, it meant Li Isura. He meant that for failure to adjust the flame going into Shabbos, so therefore, even if it was a shogeg, even though he forgot, nevertheless, it's going to be aser. And we'll make a distinction in the other direction, and that is when it comes to Bishul b'Shabbos, there's not going to be harama. Meaning, for the person who cooked on Shabbos, so and he did so b'shogeg. Okay, so he forgot that it was Shabbos, and had he remembered, of course he wouldn't have cooked. And so under these circumstances, one can easily understand and anticipate that for the shogeg of Bishul b'Shabbos, okay, so he made a mistake and he will not repeat that mistake again. And the next Shabbos, he won't just simply wake up in the morning, cook and say, oh, I forgot that today was Shabbos. But over here, however, there is no violation of Shabbos on a Daraisa level. Over here is just failure to adjust the flame going into Shabbos. And one can easily imagine that if he gets a pass in this week, meaning if he didn't adjust the fire going into Shabbos, and the food was left on, and the ruling is that it's going to be okay, so the following Shabbos he's going to think to himself, what are we talking about anyway? The adjustment of the fire before Shabbos? What we're talking about is an Issa d'Rabbanan. You know what? Last week they said it was okay. This week they're going to say it's okay as well. And the person will be mazed intentionally, just simply, quote-unquote, forget to adjust the flame. And so therefore there is going to be a greater temptation in our case that once we give him a pass one time, he's going to take advantage of it in the future. And that's what the Gemara says. Avahai da asi li arume, over here where he's going to come and he's going to do a little trickery. And he's going to take advantage over the following Friday afternoons. So therefore, we're going to actually be more machmir in such a scenario. And so therefore, we have now, let's outline the Gemara. We have the question of what if a person forgot to adjust the fire before Shabbos. We have the response of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, where after a day of thinking it over, he says that this is not the same as Bishul b'Shabbos. By Bishul b'Shabbos, the distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. In this circumstance, there's not going to be a distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. And then a subsequent discussion amongst the Amorayim, what did he mean, Loshna? And we have two positions. We have Rabba and Rav Yosef who both say that in the case of forgetting to adjust the flame before Shabbos, the Chachamim are going to be Mekel. And according to Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, in the case where he forgot to adjust the flame before Shabbos, everybody's going to be Machmir, both in the case of Shogeg and in the case of Mezid as well. And so Mezfei, the Gemara now, is going to quote a Braisa, and we're going to try to ascertain which seems to be the better way to understand Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa Mezfei, Shacha Chidera Gabakira. A person forgot a pot on the oven going into Shabbos. Ubishlo b'Shabbos. And he cooked and ended up, he didn't cook. The pot ended up cooking on Shabbos. So b'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. Now here in the Braisa, we are making a distinction between shogeg versus mezid. Shogeg is where he just simply totally forgot, like we've been describing. Mezid, what does that mean, mezid? It means that Friday afternoon, as now Shabbos is approaching, he remembers that the fire was unadjusted, and he says to himself, well, you know what? I'm not going to adjust it. That's mazid in the circumstance. So the Braisa says that there's a difference between shogeg versus mazid. So b'shogeg, one's allowed to eat it, but mazid, one's not allowed to eat the food. That's talking about a circumstance where the water was not boiling or the food is not cooked. However, if the water was boiling and the food was already cooked going into Shabbos, So both in the case of Shogeg and in the case of Mezid, one would be allowed to eat it. Divrei Meir, this is the position of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, Rebbe Yehuda is of the opinion, Chamishuch Mekot Tzarchan, that if the water was boiling, Mutarin Mimneshim Etzamek Verala. Because when it comes to water, any additional boiling is not going to help. In fact, if we left the pot in its boiling state, if we left the pot of water in its boiling state, ultimately what's going to happen is that the water is just simply going to evaporate. And so it's what's called in halacha mitzamek v'ralo. Additional boiling is not going to be positive. It will be just the opposite. On the other hand, when it comes to food, because additional cooking of the food is only going to improve the food, the food's going to simmer, and that's going to be better for the food. So under those circumstances, according to Rav Yehuda, the Chachamim are going to be machmir and not allow the person to enjoy the food. Anything which files under this category of mitzamek v'yafelo is going to be forbidden. And the Gemara just gives an assortment of examples of mitzamek v'yafelo. Kruv, right, some sort of hard root vegetable. Pulin are beans. Basar taruf is meat, right? Some sort of tough meat. Meat cut into small pieces. So these are circumstances where the more you cook them, the better it's going to be. So those are mitzamek v'yafelo and therefore going to be aser. V'cholam mitzamek v'rala motor. And anything which falls under the category of mitzamek v'rala, which right now we certainly know is water, so that's going to be permissible. Fine. That is the end of the excerpt of the Braisa. And now the Gemara analyzes. Kitani mi atav sheshalo bishul kol tzarcha. Now, in the Braisa, we discussed a food that was not fully cooked. Bishlam le Rav Nachman Yitzchak lo kasha. Now, according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, we are not left with a question. Meaning, it's very good, it's very easy to understand. How? So, kan konim gzera, kan lacher gzera. Because what we're going to say is as follows. Meaning, let's take a look back at the Braisa. Food that's not fully cooked. And according to the sheet of Rav Meir, we made a distinction between shogeg versus mezid. If we left food in the oven, going into Shabbos, the food was not fully cooked. And the fire was unadjusted. So we made a distinction in the Braisa, according to Rav Meir, between shogeg and mezid. Shogeg, you can eat the food. Mezid, you can't eat the food. Now, according to Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, what was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's ruling? His ruling was lo shna, and his understanding, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak's understanding is that you're not allowed to eat the food, not in the case of shogeg, not in the case of mezid as well. And what we could simply say is as follows. It's great. How is that great? Because the Braisa that quoted the opinion of Rav Meir, that was before the Gzera. Now, when I say the Gzera, so we're going to see in just a moment that there was a historical period in time where a Gzera was legislated. We're going to get to the Gzera in just a moment. The Rav Meir's position, the Braisa, was Kodem HaGzera. And Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, interpreting Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, that was La'achar HaGzera. So it's easy now to create a picture in which you can easily understand the Braisa, and at the same time the response of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. Ela l'Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amar le'Teira. But according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, when Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was asked the question, I left food on an unadjusted fire going into Shabbos. What's the halacha? And according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says, you're good. Shogeg, you're good. Mezid, you're good. It's okay. The food is edible. Meaning, of course, let's just make sure that we're clear. It's not okay that you didn't adjust the fire. But now that we're here, the food can be eaten. Fine. But the Gemara says, but that's not problematic. Because I kodem gzera, because if we're describing the historical period before the gzera, so kasha mezid. So then it's very difficult to understand. So then, mezid, why would it be? Why would it be prohibited? Meaning, it's before the gzera and ilachar gzera. And if we're talking about after the gzera was established, so kashya nami shogeg. So now we're not going to understand shogeg because, as we're going to see in just a moment, the gzera prohibited the enjoyment of the food both b'mezid and b'shogeg. That clearly is what the gzera covers. And so, therefore, where does this middle position exist? Where b'shogeg it's going to be okay, and b'mezid it's not going to be okay. So kasha, the Gemara says, you know what? You're right. It's going to be difficult to read the Braisa and understand the position of Rav Meir in light of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's response according to the understanding of Rabban and Rav Yosef. Okay, so the Gemara has certainly given a nod towards the understanding of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak and his understanding of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's answer, as opposed to the understanding of Rabban and Rav Yosef. My Gezerta. Now, we said that there was a Gzera, and so the Gemara just has a simple follow-up question is, what is the Gzera that we're describing? The Amar of Yehuda Bashmol Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rav Kahana Amar Rav. B'tchila Yomrim. Originally, they said, Amavash B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yocha B'Mezeh Lo Yocha. V'hu Adin L'Shocheach. So originally, the halacha went like this. If I cooked on Shabbos itself, so if one did so B'Shogeg, forgetting that it was Shabbos, so then you can eat the food. And if it was B'Mezeh, so then you cannot eat the food. Fine. V'hu Adin L'Shocheach. And originally, the halacha was that the same thing would be true regarding the one who left the food on the oven before Shabbos and forgot. And what did he forget to do? He forgot to adjust the flame, meaning he needed to adjust the flame, either Gruf or Ketum, and he forgot to do so. And we're going to make the same distinction. If it was Bishogeg, meaning he absentmindedly forgot, and there was no intentionality in him forgetting, so then you can enjoy the food on Shabbos. And if it was Bemezid, Lo Yochal, then you're not allowed to eat it, because you should have adjusted the fire. And for the person who intentionally did not adjust the fire, so the Chachamim prohibited him to eat the food. Misharabu mashim memezev v'armim shechuchim anu. And then, as what happened is that people ended up taking advantage of this particular halacha. And what happened was is that people, quote-unquote, forgot to adjust the flame going into Shabbos. And then on Shabbos itself, they go to the rabbis and they say to the rabbi, you know, we forgot, even though the truth of the matter is that the rabbis kept hearing the question again and again. We forgot, we forgot, we forgot. And it led to the suspicion / conclusion. They didn't forget, meaning they were just simply taking advantage of this halacha. They say they forgot, but really the truth of the matter is that they intentionally did not adjust the flame going into Shabbos. So chazru v'kansu al shocheach. So now a knas, a levy was imposed on the shocheach, where now that if you forget to adjust the flame going into Shabbos and the food was not fully cooked, so one cannot eat the food on Shabbos. Or, by the way, we could say the halacha is like the chachamim, and even if the food was fully cooked. Either way, the point is that if you did not adjust the flame going into Shabbos, so you can't eat the food. And that and now in this post gzera era, we're talking about whether it was left the fire was unadjusted. Bishogeg, or even if it was, I'm sorry, if it was left unadjusted b'mezin, or even if it was done bishogeg as well. Okay, and so what comes out now is that we learn together the gzera of the chachamim, because people took advantage of this particular halacha, and if one did not adjust the flame going into Shabbos, one cannot enjoy the food. And so what we're left with now is a question and answer, meaning so far in the daf, we've covered one question and one answer. Question, what if a person did not adjust the fire going into Shabbos, and he left the food on the fire going into Shabbos? And let's just quickly refresh. This question can go easily according to the Chachamim, who say that even when the food is fully cooked, in order to do Shehiya, one has to adjust the flame, and he failed to do so. Or as Tosus points out, the question could even be going like Hananya, where you're allowed to leave cooked food on the fire going into Shabbos, but over here, the food was not even at the point of Michael Ben Jusai, and so therefore the fire needed to be adjusted with either Gruf or Ketumah. So the question now is, what would be the halacha regarding shechicha? The question was posed to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. He gave an answer. It's not clear what his answer was. A debate amongst the Amarim exactly what his answer is. And then the Gemara's analysis of, once we learn this braisa, which is the better way to understand Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba? Is it going to be like Rabban and Rav Yosef, who says that Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was mekel? Or is it easier to understand according to Rav Nachman Yitzchak, where their understanding is that according to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, he was being machmir? And the Gemara concluded that the easier way to understand it is like Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, that for the person who shochech, that he forgot to adjust his fire going into Shabbos, one cannot eat the food on Shabbos. And as long as we're recapping, let's also recap the idea that even though over here it's not as serious, it's not as severe as the one who's cooking on Shabbos itself. The one cooking on Shabbos itself, that's an active violation of Shabbos. Over here, the failure was just simply not to adjust the flame going into Shabbos. And what did he violate? He violated the Issur D'Rabbanan that the Chachamim required that the fire be adjusted, either through Guf or Ketumah. And he failed to do so. So he violated Issur D'Rabbanan. So it is somewhat striking that the Chachamim over here are going to be more machmir regarding the one who violated the Issur D'Rabbanan of not doing Shehiyah properly, as opposed to the one cooking on Shabbos itself. But as we explain, it's striking, but it makes sense. Because the Isser is a lesser Isser, and because people can and in fact did take advantage of it, and so therefore the Chachamim felt here's a need where the legislation has to be a harsher legislation. We're continuing the Gemara. We're about two-thirds of the way down on the Gemara with the words Kasha de Rav Meir, de Rav Meir. And the Gemara now is going to note the following. If you went over yesterday's daf very well, and you went over today's daf again, so what you're going to notice is the following. In yesterday's daf, we also went over the opinions of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now, if you remember yesterday's daf, Alam Zayin Amin Aleph, so it was a detailed discussion of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda regarding their viewpoints of the shitas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So I strongly encourage you to go over yesterday's daf, specifically the Amud Aleph, again, get down the positions of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda really well, look again at our brisa that we went through regarding the positions of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and once you go over them again and again, so the Gemara's next question is going to be obvious. Kashya de Rav Meir, de Rav Meir, Kashya de Rav Yehuda, de Rav Yehuda. You notice Rav Meir over here on today's daf is not saying the exact same thing that he said in yesterday's daf. And the same thing is true regarding Rav Yehuda. There is a discrepancy in both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And the Gemara notes that, and the Gemara now is going to explain how to understand this discrepancy. Now, if you remember yesterday's daf, when we went over the position of Rav Meir, so Rav Meir said, in his viewpoint of Beis Hillel, that the only thing that you could do shehiyah with is only water, but not food. And over here, we're saying that according to Rav Meir, you could do shehiyah with both water and with food. And so the Gemara says now that that is obviously a discrepancy within Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, okay, but we're going to answer. Lichatchila versus Vidyevet. So lichatchila, one should only be doing shehiyah with water, but not with food. And our brice over here on our daf is only talking about Vidyevet, where if one were to do shehiyah with food. Okay. And Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda namalo kasha. And as far as the discrepancy within Rav Yehuda, on our daf we said that according to Rav Yehuda, if you have the water and you have the food, so both of those are allowed to be left on the fire. going into Shabbos. But in our brisa, I'm gonna give away the answer. In our brisa, it says that if the water was not fully heated, or the food was not fully cooked, so it would be prohibited. Because food is under the category of mitstamik v'yafalo. For the cooking of the food would improve the food, and so therefore one would be tempted to go ahead and to stoke the coals. So, and in yesterday's daf, we saw that according to Rav Yehuda, there's no hesitation, there's no reservation whatsoever. You're allowed to leave the food on an oven going into Shabbos. So Rav Yehuda over here has reservation, and Rav Yehuda in yesterday's daf had no reservation. Now the answer is pretty obvious, and the Gemara spells it out. And And the Gemara says that in this brisa we're talking about where the fire was unadjusted. On yesterday's daf, where Rabbi Yehuda had no hesitation and no reservation, we're talking about where the fire was adjusted, where you either swept the coals to the side or you laid ash over the coals. And that's why in yesterday's daf in the brisa of Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to leave the food on the oven going into Shabbos, because the fire was adjusted. Okay. A simple way to resolve the Rav Yehuda of today's Braisa versus the Rav Yehuda of yesterday's Braisa. Ibayilahu. Avar v'shaha mai. Now, the Gemara seems to be reviewing and repeating the discussion that we just had. And that's the way Rashi seems to learn our Gemara over here. It is a little bit difficult because, quite frankly, we have just spent the majority of the Amud Aleph going over this question and coming to some resolution on the question. And so it is a little bit difficult to understand why the Gemara now is reopening the case and discussing it. And other Rishonim, the Ritva, the Rash, have a slightly different version of what the Gemara is asking over here. But we're going to read the Gemara Kipshuto. So, Avar v'shah mai, what if a person violated and did shehiyah without properly adjusting the flame? So, mikantzu rabbanu lo, did the rabbis make a penalty? Tashma dam reshmol barnasan am rabbi chanina kashalach rabbi yosel l'tzipori. So the Gemara tells the following anecdote. Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipori, Masichamin Shinishal Gabi Kira, and he found hot water that was left on an oven, v'lo asur lahem, and he didn't prohibit the water. However, eggs were left on an oven, and we're going to assume right now that the oven is unadjusted, and the and his response is, no, you cannot eat those eggs. Those eggs have been cooked on an unadjusted oven, and even though you didn't violate Shabbos on Shabbos itself, but you violated the Isser of Shehiyah. You needed to adjust the flame going into Shabbos, and you didn't do so. And so therefore, it's prohibited. Now, my lav la'oso Shabbos. Now, the easiest way to understand it is that what he prohibited is on that Shabbos itself. Meaning, the easy way to understand the easy way to understand Rabbi Yossi when he went to Tzipori is that because the violation of Shehiyah, so he prohibited the eating of the food. Water, on the other hand, which falls under the category of Mistamik Varalo, so he didn't prohibit. So the Gemara says, lo, l'shabbos haba. Now, what Rabbi Yossi was saying to them, this is another way to understand Rabbi Yossi's response is, this Shabbos it's okay, but don't do that again next Shabbos. Meaning make sure next Shabbos, going into Shabbos, that you adjust the flame, you adjust the fire before Shabbos. Okay, fine. So from the Braisa, the easier way to read the Braisa is that Rabbi Yossi, in fact, prohibited the food to be eaten on Shabbos, but the Gemara just simply deflected. You don't have to understand it that way. The Gemara just takes a moment to make an observation that eggs, the more you cook it, the better it improves. Meaning, we gave examples earlier on the Amud of what falls under the category of Mitzamek V'yafalo. Kruv, Pulim, Basar Taruf. Now, that wasn't a comprehensive list. It was just simply a list. It was a couple of examples. Over here, the Gemara points out, we can add eggs to the list. Is that right? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's right. And so the Gemara just simply reports that Rav and Rav Chama, at one point in time, so he lodged together with Rebbe, and they brought in front of him eggs. The eggs were so cooked, so well done, that they were like the size of like these small apples, whatever. They were very cooked, and they were so delicious. They ate a lot of them. The point of this episode is that Beit Shem do in fact fall under the category of Mitzamis B'Yafalo. We are now in the very bottom of Lamech Chesem and Aleph, and now we move on to the next subject of the discussion, next topic, and that is going to be Chazara. You remember that in the Mishnah we talked about Shehiyah, we talked about Chazara. You also remember in the Mishnah, we're not sure if where the Mishnah was actually even talking about Shehiyah at all. But go back to yesterday's daf and go back 2 days ago. But certainly at the end of the Mishnah talked about Chazara. What is Chazara? That is the returning of the food to the fire on Shabbos itself. Meaning that you took the pot off the fire and you want to return it. Now here, there is no debate whatsoever. In order to do chazar, in order to be able to return the food to the fire on Shabbos, so one has to have the fire adjusted. Grufa uketuma must be done to the flame in order to do chazara. That part is clear. As we're going to be learning over the next couple of minutes, there are other conditions that need to be met in order for chazara to be done. The Gemara now discusses the topic of chazara. So according to the one who says that chazar can be done, afilu b'Shabbos, it can be done even on Shabbos itself. Now what does that mean, even on Shabbos? Chazar is talking about on Shabbos. We're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi over here. There are other ways to learn the Gemara, but we're going to learn like Rashi. And you can see the Rashi on the top of the Amud Beis. I'm reading the Rashi. Machzirin afilu b'Shabbos b'yom ha-macharas. So Rashi says that not only can chazar be done on Friday night, chazar can be done even on Shabbos day. Meaning to say that Shabbos morning, you woke up, you wanted a little taste of lunch coming up ahead. So you take the pot that was on the flame, and again, it was adjusted. Everyone agrees by chazar, it has to be adjusted. You took it off the blech. You took a little bit of food, you put it back on the blech, and even though it's Shabbos morning, you could do that. Now, why would you suggest otherwise? V'lo tema, Rashi continues. V'lo tema plukta'i mishechashecha. And don't say that the debate between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel is only on Friday night.
And
And why would it be more readily understood that you could do Chazar on Friday night as opposed to Shabbos morning? And so Rashi over here offers the following svara. So it's really interesting. You see, on Friday night, when you want to take a little bit of the food, so it's understood that this food is really for tomorrow, and it's understood that when you originally took it off on Friday night, you did so with the intention of putting it back. So there, Chazara is really, as in its most literal sense, meaning I was planning on returning it all along. However, continues Rashi, the Avabiyam Lomochach. But if you're taking the cholent off the fire on Shabbos morning, it's not as self-evident. The shakalei adaita daadure ubadle lehatmana vahavale kematmin lechatchila. There, you could have made the argument that on Shabbos morning, the moment you're taking the cholent off the blech, off the crock pot, so this could be it, meaning this could be the last time that you want to do so. And if and when you return it back to the blech on Shabbos, or into the crock pot on Shabbos, so really what this is now, is this is basically could be viewed as an initial placing of it on Shabbos itself. Now it's not initial, meaning obviously, but still, because it's Shabbos morning, and because you anyway are going to be eating the this cholent for lunch, one could view this as no longer a category of chazara, but rather this is considered or viewed as you're doing so for the first time. And so that could be the distinction to be made between Friday night versus Shabbos morning. And the Gemara's point is that once Chazara is allowed, meaning Beis Hillel is of the opinion that's allowed, and once we say that it's allowed at any point on Shabbos, both Friday night and Shabbos morning. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. As I mentioned, other Rishonim understand the Gemara differently, but we're going to learn like Rashi. V'av Rav Hoshea, Savar Machzir, Nafil B'Shabbos, Rav Hoshea is also of this position as well. We're back to the Gemara, we're on the top line. Now, second line. There was an instance where we were in front of Rabbi Chia, the great Rabbi Chia, and we took a kettle from the first floor up to the second floor, and we poured him a hot cup of water. Actually, the truth of the matter is, to be more accurate, what they were doing is they were diluting the wine, right? Every cup of wine was diluted with water. And over here, they were diluting it with the hot water. And then what we did afterwards is we took the kettle and we put it back on the oven. And again, I just want to refresh and remind everybody, the oven's adjusted because you can only do chazara only if grufa ketumah was done. Amar lanu davar. Now, Rabbi Chia did not oppose this idea at all, meaning Rabbi Chia allowed it, even though it was done on Shabbos. And presumably the proof is that it was, according to Rashi, it was done on Shabbos morning. Amar Rabbi Zikar, Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Teddy, Lo Shanu Elo Sha'odam Biyado. Now the Gemara is going to be talking about other conditions. Meaning, the Gemara's discussion over here is that Chazara is in fact allowed. That is Beis Hillel's position. That's the halacha. The Gemara now is going to be discussing what conditions are necessary in order for Chazara to be done. In order to facilitate better understanding of the Gemara, let's just go over what the Gemara assumes we know are the conditions that need to be met in order for a person to take a food off of a blech on Shabbos and to return it to the blech on Shabbos. So there are going to be a total of 5 conditions. The Gemara is not going to count it out the way I'm doing so right now. But this is the understanding of the Gemara. This is the accepted halacha. There are 5 conditions. 3 of them are non-negotiable. Let's go over the 3 that are non-negotiable. In order for Chazar to be done on Shabbos, the food has to be fully cooked. That's non-negotiable. That's 1. 2 is that the food still has to be hot. Once the food has gotten to the point where now it is room temperature, so then the food cannot be returned to the oven on Shabbos or to the stovetop on Shabbos. That's 2. And 3, the fire has to be adjusted. Either through Gruf or Ketumah, the fire has to be adjusted. These are 3 conditions which are non-negotiable conditions, and that needs to be done. What we're going to be discussing from here until the upcoming Mishnah, which is not so in the distant future, is 2 other conditions which the Gemara now is going to debate and deliberate in terms of whether or not these conditions are also going to be necessary. That is the condition of Odan Biyado, the pot has to be in your hand, and the condition of Daito Lahachzir. What was your mindset when you took the food off the oven? And the Gemara now, so let's go back and let's just reread. Amar Rebbe Zrika, Amar Rebbe Abba, Amar Rebbe Teddy, Lo Shanu Elo Shod Dem Biado. The allowance of a chazara is only when the pot is still in your hand. Aval Hinichan Agabe Karka Asar. But if the pot was put on the ground, so at that point in time, it's going to be prohibited. And what's the thinking of the Gemara over here? What's the logic of the Gemara? So Rashi says, because once you do so, you have now basically cut off from the original placement of the pot going into Shabbos. And so this would be considered now, if I did not have the intention of putting it back on again, this would be considered that I'm putting it on anew on Shabbos. And therefore, it'd be prohibited. I'm sorry. We're not talking about intentionality. We're just talking about where it was put on the ground. But it's, okay. I jumped ahead in the Gemara. We're just talking about where you put it on the ground. Amar Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Teddy da'av l'garmehu da'avad. Rabbi Teddy's statement over here was only his own personal position. Elahacham Rabbi Chiam Rav Yochanan, but the Gemara quotes the name Rav Yochanan. Afilo nicha gabi karka mutar. Rav Yochanan is quoted as saying that even if the pot taken off the blech and put onto the floor, according to Rav Yochanan, it can be put back again. And the Gemara now is going to continue debating this very point of whether or not if the pot of food was taken off the fire, off the blech, on Shabbos, and it was put on the ground, would it be okay if I returned it onto the fire on Shabbos? Pligi ba, Rav Dimi v'Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, v'tarvar mishmei de Rabbi Elazar. So there's a debate amongst the Amoraim, and both are quoting Rabbi Elazar. Amrechad amar odam biyado mutar, agabe karka asar, that as long as it's in your hand, it would be mutar. Once you put it on the ground, it's going to be asar. V'chad amar, hinichan agabe karka nami mutar. And the other says, no, even if the food was left on the ground, it would be okay to pick it up and put the pot back on the fire. Amar chizke mishmei d'abaya had amart odam biyado mutar. Even when we say that it's in your hand, it would be okay to return it. Lo amarn ela shedaito lahachzir. And here now we're introduced to another condition. And that is that when you took the food off the pot, your intention was to return it. Aval ein daito lahachzir. But if when you took the food off the pot, you did not have the intention of bringing it back to the oven, aser, it would be prohibited. Now, implied in this is that when you put it on the ground, even if you had intentionality to bring it back to the blech, it would be prohibited. Now, in a slightly different version, when you put it on the ground, it's going to be aser. That's only when you didn't have in mind to bring it back to the blech. Avadaita lahachzir, but if you have in mind to bring it back to the blech, mutter would be permitted. Now, implied in this is that as long as it's in your hand, even though you did not have the intention of bringing it back, it would be mutter. And so, as you could see, the Gemara is having a major debate amongst the Amoraim about conditions 4 and 5. Condition number 4, which the Gemara just deliberated, is what happens after when I take the food off the blech on Shabbos and I put it down on the ground. So is that going to now negate the original shehiyah, and now I can't return it back to the fire? That's one issue which was debated. And the other condition which is debated is daita lahachzir. When I took it off, did I have in mind to return it again? And these two conditions are discussed and debated amongst the Rishonim extensively, because you could see in the Gemara itself that the Gemara itself is debating whether or not these conditions are absolutely necessary or not. And so the Rishonim debated the halacha, just in terms of practical halacha, they are both certainly required on a lechatchila standpoint. B'dieved, if you missed the two, so that is a somewhat involved discussion amongst the poskim in the halacha, whether or not you can return the food to the blech. Again, just to reiterate, the first three conditions are non-negotiable. The conditions of the fire has to be adjusted, the food has to be fully cooked, the food still has to be hot. Those are non-negotiable conditions. The ones that are negotiable are the ones that the Gemara just discussed and deliberated. The Gemara just has a couple of quick follow-up questions in order to finish up the sugya. Bar Rav Yirmiyah talam b'makel mahu. What if I hung it on a peg? What if I took the pot and hung it on the peg? And so therefore, where are we? So it's not in your hand, but it's not on the ground. So by hanging on the peg, now it's in this limbo area. What would be the halach under those circumstances? Similar question. What if the food was put on the bed? Meaning, so it was no longer in your hand, but at the same time was no longer on the ground. By Rav Ashi, the Gemara does not answer either of those questions. By Rav Ashi, pinam mimechem lamechem mahu. What if you did the following? What if you took the pot of food, took it off the blech, and transferred it to another pot? Can I return that second pot to the adjusted fire, to the blech? Teiku, the Gemara leaves all these questions unresolved, meaning these are questions where you, on one hand, you were somewhere in the middle. It wasn't, the original pot was not still in your hand. At the same time, it wasn't on the ground. It was either hanging on a peg, or it was on the bed, or I transferred the food to another pot. Now, that second pot, clearly, you did not have the intention with that second pot that second pot was going to go back on the fire. You certainly didn't have intention going into Shabbos. So these are all questions where they're basically in the middle of these conditions of not on the ground, there's no das lahachzir, and teiku, and the Gemara leaves these questions unresolved. We are just going to quickly go through the next sugya. We are on the Mishnah on Lamed Chesem and Beis, and we are now discussing Tanur. As I pointed out in the beginning of the perek, but let's quickly recap. Let's refresh. In terms of cooking apparatuses, they had three different types of ovens. They had what's called a kira, which is what we've been discussing for the last two blot of Gemara. The kira is basically the middle oven. You'll see why I use the word middle. It's the middle oven. It doesn't generate the maximum heat, but at the same time, however, it's The kira is not the middle oven. The kira, but whatever. The kira is a simple box-shaped oven that we've been describing for the last 2 days. There is a tanur. A tanur is wide on the bottom, narrow on the top. It is built in order to contain the most amount of heat. And then there is a kupach. A kupach is somewhere in the middle. The kupach is not as hot as a tanur, and not as but a little more intense than that of the kira. Okay, sorry, the mistake I made is that the kupach really exists in the middle. In terms of where do our modern ovens stand, so that also is a discussion. Already the Rishonim are debating and deliberating what our modern ovens are going to fall under the category of. Is it going to fall under the category of the kira, or of the tanur, or of the kupach? It happens to be that in modern Hebrew, we refer to our ovens as a tanur, but that doesn't reflect the halacha, meaning the halacha is that in the Gemara's time, there were three apparatuses, there were three different types of ovens, and the question of what our modern oven fits into categorically is a discussion amongst the Rishonim. Most are of the opinion that our modern ovens fall under the category of a kira, and not of a tanur, not of a kupach. Okay. Now, as far as the halacha is concerned, the Mishnah here tells us that when it comes to a tanur she'isikua begashu v'gvava, and it was heated using the straw. And you remember when it comes to the kira that was heated with the straw, when the straw is used as fuel, it doesn't need any adjustment whatsoever because the straw burns out. However, when it comes to the oven, because the oven's design is that it captures more heat, so therefore the chachamim or machmir, even if the fuel that's used is kashin gvava, lo yitein b'metocho b'me al gabav. So you're not allowed to put food on the oven, not on the top of the oven, not in the oven. Kupach she'isikua begashu v'gvava. Now, as far as this kupach is concerned, and now I'll say it correctly, the kupach is somewhere in the middle. The kupach is not as hot as the tanur, but a little hotter than that of the kira. So if the kupach was fueled with kashin gvava harezeki kirayim, halachically now has the status of a kira. And then go back to the beginning of the perek. And whatever we said regarding a kira would be true with the kupach when it was ignited with kashin gvava. However, begefes of eitzim harei ketanur. However, if it was ignited with good fuel, like coal, so then it's going to have the status of a tanur. Fine. The Gemara starts off the discussion, tanur shehisikua, shehisikua. So, if we are discussing a tanur. So the Mishnah told us very clearly what the halacha is regarding a tanur. The halacha is that even when it was fueled with kashin gvava, one is not allowed to use that oven going into Shabbos. And presumably, even if it was adjusted, the Gemara's discussion goes as follows. Now, the Mishnah says regarding the tanur, you cannot use it at all. But the Mishnah actually says not in and not on. Avalis mok shapir dami. But the Gemara's discussion now goes as follows. When it comes to the tanur, can I put the pot next to the tanur? Now, you'll remember, we had this discussion regarding Akira. And we said regarding the Kira that smicha, that putting it next to the Kira would be permissible. The Gemara's discussion over here is, are we going to have this kind of allowance when it comes to the tanur? Eisvei Abaye, I'm sorry. The Gemara starts off with Rav Yosef's position that it would be allowed. So the Gemara now challenges based on our Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says that when it comes to the kupach, which is in the middle, so it depends how it was fueled. If it was fueled with stubble, with straw, so then we treat it like a kira. And and if it was fueled with coal, so then it's going to be like a tanor, it's going to be aser. Hakikira shari b'may askinan. Now, when it says that it was fueled with kashin gvav, it's going to be like a kira, what are we talking about? Ilem al gabav. So are we talking about putting food on the kupach? And we're talking about where it's unadjusted. Now it says, now when it comes to the kira, and it was unadjusted, can you put it on top of the kira? So it must be over here that the allowance is talking about smicha. And if our analysis is correct, that the issue of our Mishnah is talking about smicha, so that means to say that if it was fueled with coals, so then we're going to treat it like a tanor, which is prohibited. And so the Gemara now is assuming that the topic of discussion of our Mishnah is smicha, and the comparison of the kupach to the tanor leads us to the conclusion that smicha would in fact be prohibited. And that challenges Rav Yosef, because Rav Yosef was of the opinion that even though the tanor is more heat and we're more machmer by the tanor, but smicha would be okay. And now it sounds like from our analysis that smicha would not be okay. The Gemara says, no, your assumptions were wrong. We're actually talking about where the kupach was adjusted with either grufa ketuma, and the oven was adjusted with grufa ketuma. And it just simply means that we are now contrasting. You see, when it comes to the tanor, even when adjusted, you cannot use the tanur because the tanur captures so much heat. So therefore, the usage of the tanur on Shabbos is going to be forbidden even when it's adjusted. As opposed to the kira, where it's adjusted, you're allowed to use the kira. And that's the entire point of the Mishnah. Where if the kupach is going to be heated with kashuk vava, so then we could be lenient like the kira. On the other hand, if you ignite it using the fuel of gefes ve'etzim, of coals, so then it's going to be like the tanur. And the halachic topic is, even if adjusted, even if you did grufa ketuma, just like the tanur is going to be forbidden, so too is the kupach going to be forbidden as well. Tanya kavasei da'abaye, the Gemara quotes a brisa that is going to support Abaye's position. And that is tanur she'isi kupach, ashev gvava, in some chenlo, that if I have the tanur that was fueled with straw, so you cannot do smicha. Ve'in tzarech lamar al gabav, you cannot put it, you cannot do smicha, you certainly can't put it on the oven itself. You certainly can't put it in the tanner. And it goes without saying that if the fuel that was used was solid fuel like coal, so then for sure you can't use the tanner. Now, if I have my kupach that was fueled with straw, so samchem lo, so you're allowed to do smicha. Now, in the Gemara's Girsa that we have, it says ve'ein nosnin. The Gemara adjusts the Gemara over here, nosnin, because remember, once the kupach is fueled with straw, so then it has a halachic status of akira. And whatever allowances we have regarding akira can be used for the kupach when the kupach is fueled with straw. So, somchem lo, nosnin agabav. And you could put the food on the kupach if the fuel was straw. The gefes of eitzim, however, if it was fueled with gefes of eitzim, ain't somchem lo, you're not allowed to do smicha. And this brisa accords with the position of Abaye, that you're not allowed to use smicha when it comes to the tanur, or when it has the kupach, or the kupach when fueled with coal, which also has the status of a tanur. So the Gemara says, now, let's just have a better understanding of the kupach. The Gemara now is going to just spend a couple of moments going over the actual structure of the kupach. So, so if it is structurally like a kira, so then even if the fuel is gefes and eitzim, so then it should be okay if it was adjusted. And And if structurally it's like the tanur, so then even if it's fueled with straw, then you would not be allowed to use a kupach. So I'm alei nafish havlei medikira vizuter havlei meditanur. So the Gemara says that structurally, well, we'll get to the structure in just a moment, but functionally, so the kupach in terms of the heat that it generates is somewhere in between. It's not as hot as the tanur, but it's hotter than the kira. Now, hechi dami kupach. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, hechi dami kupach, hechi dami kira. And now the Gemara wants to go over a little bit of the structure. And even though I could have said this a while back, but the Gemara over here is going to spell this out in terms of what are the structural differences between kupach and kira. Now, tanur, the Gemara is not going to go over because the Gemara assumes that we know that when it comes to the tanur, so structurally, it's a V shape, right? Inverted V. Basically, because it narrows as it gets to the opening, so it is going to be holding a lot more heat. And so structurally, the tanur is fundamentally different. The Gemara doesn't even raise that as a discussion. But what is the structural difference between a kupach and a kira? Why is the kupach going to be hotter than that of the kira? I'm Rabbi Yossi bar Bichanina, kupach makum shepitach kedera achas kira makum shefisas. Sorry, shefisas. Shefisas kedera achas kira makum shefisas shtei kederas. So the Gemara says the difference between a kupach and a kira is that a kupach is basically one burner. I'm saying that by analogy, meaning to say that the kupach is has only room for one pot to go either on or in. So therefore, it's a smaller area, more concentrated area of heat. However, when it comes to the kira, basically we're talking about two burners. The kira is larger in nature, and so therefore there is more area, more airspace, and it's not going to be as much concentrated heat in the kira. Basically, the difference is kupach, one has only room for one pot. Kira has room for two pots. In fact, by the way, you go back to yesterday's Gemara, and we'll have a better understanding of yesterday's Gemara, where we talked about the kira, where it was side by side, and one of the flames was adjusted, the other one was not adjusted. And that's just simply because of the structure of the kira. Amar Rabbi Vitimer of Yirmiyah af anami tanina. And the Gemara Abai says, some say it's Rav Yirmiya, it's a Mishnah. We learned this in a Mishnah. And that is, Kira, Shenechlika, Leorka, Tahora, Lerachba, Tamea. If I have the Kira and I break it into two, and over here we're discussing the halachas of Kalim and Tumah Tahara. And as we've said repeatedly throughout Shas, that when I have a Kli and I break it to the point where it no longer has utility, so it's no longer Makabal Tumah. So over here, if I have the Kira and I break it, and I break it lengthwise, it would be Tahara. If I break it widthwise, it would be Tameya. And basically, if you can imagine now, if I take the Kira and I make a vertical division of the Kira, that's fine. Meaning each section now serves as it's still a utilitarian oven. However, if I break it along the horizontal, so now I'm basically taking it out of usage. Kupach, bein la'orko, bein la'rachba tahor. But when it comes to the kupach, which only has room for one pot, so when you break it, it doesn't matter whether you break it vertically or horizontally. Since it is designed only for one, if I break it either way, it no longer has usage, and it's no longer going to be makabel tumah. So the Gemara just simply went over the structural differences between the kupach and the kira. Let's recap the daf. First half of the daf today discussed one topic, and that is a person failed to do shihiyah properly, meaning he did not adjust the fire like he was supposed to going into Shabbos. What would be the halacha? So the first half of today's daf has a lengthy discussion on this topic of what happens when shihiyah was not done properly, when the fire was not adjusted properly. A lengthy discussion and a little bit of a complexity in the Gemara, the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's answer, two ways to understand Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's answer, a brisa, which certainly supports one of the ways of understanding Rabbi Chiya bar Abba's answer. Good. That was the Amud Aleph of today's daf. Amud Beis of today's daf is broken up into two parts. Number one, we talked about chazara, taking the food off of the fire on Shabbos, returning it to the fire on Shabbos, the conditions that are necessary in order to allow chazara. We went over the three conditions which are non-negotiable, and then there were two other conditions that were deliberated within the Gemara. Odam biyado and daito lahachzir. And then finally, the last thing we covered in the course of today's daf is going to be the various ovens that were used for cooking. the Tanur, I'm going to go in order of heat, going from most intense to least intense. The Tanur, the Kupach, and the Kira. The Tanur, because it has so much heat, so therefore it cannot be used, and as we learned in today's daf, even if adjusted. Even if you do Gruf and Ketumah, you cannot use the Tanur. On top of that, we also concluded you cannot do smicha on the Tanur as well. As far as the Kira is concerned, so there you have the most allowance by the Kira. That is the first discussion of our perek. That was the first two blot of the third perek in terms of the allowances regarding the Kira. The Kupach exists somewhere in the middle. If the fuel that's used is Kashin Gvava, treat it like a Kira. If the fuel that's used is Gefa Ve'etzim, treat it like the Tanur. Khan, we continue tomorrow with the Mishnah.